Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Okay, joining me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, she is fighting the NJEA, the cartel itself. You remember when that guy ran for governor and used all their money for his campaign? Well, we're not going to let it go unanswered. So I'm very happy to welcome to the show, her first time on the show, Rosemary Becky is president and founder of the New Jersey Policy Institute, and she joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Rosemary, it's great to see you.
Great to be here.
So tell me about this lawsuit. This guy, Sean Spiller, who was president of the NJEA, ran for governor in the primary, New Jersey gubernatorial primary, lost to Mikey Sherrill, although it's important to note, as you noted in your X account, they are buds, they are besties. How much money did he spend?
So he spent $40 million on his failed gubernatorial campaign. He came in fifth place and spent $40 million. It's just astonishing.
$40 million and you come in last.
That's right.
Wow.
Right? Yes.
Are you looking to figure, well, first of all, what percentage of that $40 million came from the New Jersey Education Association, the teachers union itself, of which he's the president of?
So most, if not all of it, came from the teachers. And that's what this lawsuit is all about. And that is what these the two teachers that have brought the lawsuit are alleging. They never consented to their dues being used for these purposes.
So when you say the money came from the teachers, how does it work? I'm a teacher. I pay a certain amount of dues to the New Jersey Education Association. They take that money and then they use it for political purposes. Do I have a way to opt out of that?
You do. So when you sign up and you join the union, you can check a box to say that you would like part of your dues to go towards their political activities, or you opt out by not checking the box. These two teachers chose not to have any of their dues money go to political activities. So it is very clearly a breach of contract under this terms.
And for the teachers that said, okay, I don't mind my money being used for political purposes, Did they have any idea it would go towards the president of their union running for? You see, I find that to be a very much an insider job here. It's just so Jersey. You know, I'm going to collect all this dues money and then I'm going to run for governor and I'm going to use that dues money for my campaign. I mean, what if I'm a teacher and I'm okay with the NJEA using some of my dues for political purposes, but I didn't know it was going to go to this guy and go to his campaign.
No, they did not know this was happening. This was solely being made by a very, very small group of people inside the NJEA. So while they thought, so those that did elect to have their dues go to political activities, they certainly did not know which political activities it was going to. And in this instance, it was like a shell game. Mm-hmm. So they took that money, they transferred it to one entity, which then transferred it to another entity, which then spent it on the campaign.
How is that even remotely legal? I mean, again, this is like Jersey in the 1950s here. I'm taking money, I'm moving it to one country, to another. It's insane. It's literally something out of Goodfellas.
No, absolutely. And this is part of what the New Jersey Policy Institute feels very strongly about, in that going forward, we have to change the rules. We can't allow this to go on, right? Like, yeah. We've got to come up with policy that makes sense and that is fair, and that there's transparency and accountability for the teachers. I mean, teachers pay a lot of dues, and to have all that money being spent on one failed gubernatorial race, you know, it isn't in their best interest.
Rosemary Becky, I appreciate you being here to talk about all this, because I think for a lot of people, this is just going to blow their minds and say, how does the president of the union run with the teachers' money? As his campaign, you know, bam, it's expensive to run for office. It's why a lot of people don't do it, because they either have to spend time raising money or they have to use their own funds. It's not cheap. And this guy spent $40 million, came in last place. So if I'm a teacher in New Jersey, how much am I spending? What are my annual dues? Does it vary based on income, or how does it work?
No, it's very expensive. It is over $1,200 a year. So that's a lot of money to be spending on dues. And remember, that dues is supposed to go to the benefit of the teachers. So the union is supposed to be representing them in collective bargaining. They're also supposed to be spending it on training and other things. So rather than spending that money on those types of things and for the benefit of our teachers, they actually spend it on somebody's campaign.
Has the NJEA, the New Jersey Education Association, responded to the lawsuit that you and New Jersey Policy Institute have filed?
No, they have not.
Okay. Shocking. So you file this in state court, Superior Court, I'm guessing. And then what happens next? What's the process here?
So the process is like any other lawsuit. There'll be a process where there's, you know, discovery and arguments made and filings and all of that. The other thing to note is that the NJPI also filed complaints with the Internal Revenue Service as well as ELEC, because when we looked through all of their filings, we found that there wasn't transparency and things that were supposed to be reported on their tax returns were not. Mm. And then we also found some violations of the limitations on how much money can be spent and given directly to a campaign. So we have asked those two entities to look into that. And as I said, we filed a complaint with those two organizations.
So we got this kind of shell game, embezzling, my words anyway, funds and moving them around and, you know, propping up this guy to come in last place running for governor. What an absolute waste of money. And then I guess the other question is, who got that money? Where did that $40 million go? Did it go to their friends who were consultants? Because, I mean, as a former political operative myself, that's a dream right there, to get millions of dollars, to have a candidate who's got tens of millions of dollars to spend. I'm thinking mail pieces. I'm thinking I can make your commercials. I can hire consultants and pollsters. And so who got all that money?
No, that's a great question. And that's part of this lawsuit. Like, where did the money go? And I think that that's one of the things both the teachers as well as us at NJPI want to see some transparency about. Where did the money go, and some accountability?
So this guy runs for governor, $40 million. He's the president of the New Jersey Education Association. I should point out, I mean, this is an organization that fights every single day to make sure that there's no school choice in New Jersey, to keep kids in failing schools in New Jersey, and to ensure that our kids are subject to a woke curriculum and that parents don't have a way to opt out of things. And it's a frustrating cartel of an organization, the NJEA. It's one of the most powerful teachers unions in the country. And they were responsible during COVID for keeping our kids either locked down or out of school or masked up. I mean, it was the whole thing was a mess in conjunction with their friends over at Brandy Weingarten and the American Federation for Teachers. And so as all this is happening and we're learning then that this guy runs for governor and he takes all this money and maybe hands it out to his friends and his buddies. And it just strikes me, Rosemary Becky, as the kind of thing that should be criminally investigated here. Not just, I mean, I'm glad you're taking civil action, but then again, we have a Democrat attorney general who's probably not going to touch this, I'm guessing. So the best we can get is a civil case for the moment.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I would certainly hope and encourage our next governor to seriously look into this. Again, I mean, this money was supposed to be for the benefit of our teachers, and it wasn't used that way. And to me, you know, there's a lot of questions, as you pointed out, that need to be answered. Where did the money go and who got it?
Yeah. And did the people who get it also do the bidding of the NJEA? Those are questions that immediately come to my mind. And all of that should be publicly available on their ELEC reports, the Election Law Enforcement Commission reports that the candidate has to file. So it's all there. Just a matter of somebody who's wanted to take the time and the effort to explore all this and figure this out. And I'm grateful that you and the NJ Policy Institute are doing this, because I mean, not just for, I have friends who are teachers. They find this to be very frustrating. I have one who opted out of paying her union dues completely because she just was so fed up with this. But also as a taxpayer, I and as a Jersey resident, I'm offended by the entire idea that the president of the union can take the union dues and run for governor and then lose. I mean, at least win, you know, at least take the $40 million and win. How much did that $40 million versus how much other candidates spent? I wanted to ask you that too. Do you know that?
I don't know that. I know that it is significantly higher than several of the candidates, but I don't know in the scheme of things where it fell.
Did he spend more or less than Mikey Sherrill, out of curiosity?
I believe he spent more, but we definitely should confirm that for you. I mean, the amount, and $40 million is a lot of money, you know, and to come into fifth place in a primary. So I believe he had got approximately 95,000 votes. That's it.
That might be one of the biggest wastes of money, except it probably was intentional in every single way. I mean, I don't think he ever thought he had a shot. He never polled high. Nobody knew who he was. But he is friends with the Democrat candidate for governor, Mikey Sherrill. You've mentioned that, right?
Yeah. And she is endorsed by them. Again, it all should be called into question. And frankly, you know, I think she ought to be questioning what's going on here rather than accepting their money and their endorsement, because this is a blatant abuse of power.
It's an abuse of power. It's corruption. It's everything about New Jersey that people can't stand. And it's just wrong on every single level. I mean, the idea that teachers are paying dues and they have no idea that it's about to be used for the president of the union to run for governor and then to come in last place. It's what an absolute waste of friggin' money. Like I said, at least if a guy had won, it'd be something. But to come in last place, holy cow. Well, Rosemary, keep us posted on the lawsuit. I'm very grateful that you have filed this. New Jersey Policy Institute. If people want to learn more about this or get in touch with you, where can they go?
So you can go to our website. We've got all the filings. We've got Q&A there. It's the NewJerseyPolicyInstitute.org. I know it's long, but it is the NewJerseyPolicyInstitute.org. And again, we've got a Q&A there. We've got all the filings. We've gotten it broken down into plain English. Like, it's quite a reading.
Before I let you go, I just have one question for you, and that is, do you agree? I know that, you know, you can't be political in your capacity, but just as a New Jerseyan, do you agree with the following statement by Mikey Sherrill. I'm just going to play this.
Thank you. Who eats pork roll?
Not me.
I think that's gross.
I don't even know what it is.
We've had this fight multiple times. Nobody wants pork roll.
Rosemary, Becky, do you agree with that, that nobody wants pork roll?
No, I'm so appalled at that clip. I am from Philadelphia. I was born and raised in the Philadelphia area. My husband is from Cherry Hill. It is pork roll, and we love pork roll. We have it every weekend. So that is not a true New Jerseyan.
You can debate whether it's pork roll or Taylor ham. I'll give you that. But either way, you got to eat it. You know, you got to eat it. You can't to say you don't eat it. It's gross. I mean, that's offensive. But she's not from New Jersey, so.
No.
If you leave New Jersey, most people have no idea what pork roll is or Taylor ham. Outside of the New Jersey, you go to parts of the country, they think it's Canadian bacon or something.
Yeah. No, and look, just to go back to your other point, it is time we start to demand more from the people we elect, right? And we've got to stop with the corruption, and really elect people that have integrity, and this is exactly an instance where we've got to figure out what's going on here, and frankly change the process so that it doesn't happen anymore. Because frankly, the people that are harmed are our teachers. And we ought to be doing everything in our power to support them. And we're not.
It is the Jerseyest thing I have heard since the last time I watched The Sopranos, that the head of the teachers union would use those dues, $40 million, blow it, and come in last place in the primary for the Democrat nomination. It is right out of a page from The Sopranos. Rosemary, Becky, thank you so much for joining us today on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Keep up the fight. Keep us posted, okay?
Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As we continue along here in our fourth and final hour, I wanted to something Caroline Levitt said earlier today at the White House press briefing struck me, and I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. So this question of sending troops into American cities, troops, you know, I guess the real question is, why are the local governments so opposed to this? We have a long history in this country of having federal and state and local partners on all kinds of things, from going after the mafia, not that that's real, to going after terrorists, to drugs. I mean, we have state and federal partnerships. I'm literally watching a show right now on HBO called Task, starring Mark Ruffalo, plays an FBI agent. And it's a joint task force comprised of local cops from Delco and Monco and Chesco and the Pennsylvania State Police working with the FBI. It's a tri-county task force to go after these biker gang / drug dealers. It's a joint federal task force, and the actor is probably the most liberal actor in all of Hollywood, besides Rob Reiner. Mark Ruffalo, who's an excellent actor. The show is fantastic. I highly recommend it. I think they overdo the Delco accent just a little bit. Like the dance. I'll take you to the dance. It's a lot. It's a little much at times, but well worth it. And I don't think it takes away from the show at all. I think it's really good. It's funny. I'm acutely aware of the accents because I know that these actors get dialect coaches. And when we had Mayor of Easttown on, if you remember that, we spent a lot of time talking about Kate Winslet because she's British, and how she nailed the Delco accent. So as I watch this show, on one hand, I'm watching the show and I'm really gripped by it. It's very, very intense. On the other hand, I'm just analyzing the accent and going, man, they really went extra hard on the D there. Like, dance. I'm taking the dance. Anyway, the question was today about federal officers and federal troops. And I just, this exchange here, let's play this one here.
The Democrats have questioned and scrutinized the president's comments about using potentially the military, American cities, as training grounds for the military. And when you look at Portland, Chicago, local and state officials say that their local law enforcement is able to handle the situations, these protests on the ground. The president says that Portland is burning, using that as justification for the National Guard in Portland. But when you look here in Washington, D.C., the president just last week said it is now a completely safe city, and there are still National Guard members on the streets that are not involved in ICE activities. Can you provide the justification for the White House here in Washington, D.C., why the National Guard members continue to be out on the streets?
Because Washington, D.C. has invited the National Guard here. Why? Because the mayor is doing the right thing, unlike mayors in other cities like Portland, as Caitlin and others have pointed out, who refuse to see that there are positive results from when local law enforcement works with federal law enforcement to do the right thing on behalf of their citizens.
All right, now let's just stop it right there. Positive results, and also a long history of this. I mean, especially when you've got crime that crosses state lines and you've got crime that could be state and federal and you need more resources.
And Washington, D.C. is no doubt.
The counties are tapped out. Local budgets are tapped out. Manpower, people power, is tapped out. So I really just look at this as, once again, it's Democrat obstruction. The Democrats are just trying to obstruct what the president is doing. But you ask the average person on the street, and they're happy about it. Like Don Lemon did. Don Lemon literally asked the guy today on the street how he feels about all this and was shocked by this, because here's a New Yorker telling him, yeah, this is good. We need more about this. We need more of this happening. And I mean, Don Lemon at that point probably wishes that he was in a black hole with that airplane, because this is not the kind of stuff he wanted to hear. You have that clip, Don Lemon? Okay. Yeah, a little slide.
Feel about the ICE raids?
The who?
ICE raids. Like, immigration.
I feel good about them.
Yeah, you want them to crack down?
More, yes.
You do?
Yes, been wanting it for years, all my life.
And what about them, like, roughing people up?
Nah, that shit crazy. Don't put your hands on nobody. That's crazy. Don't hurt nobody. We'll do it the legal way.
But that's what they're doing, though. They're
ugly, then no, I don't feel great about that. I mean, don't hurt nobody. At the same time, get them out of here. Get them all out of here. Please and thank you. You Trump 4 more years for that.
Did you vote for him?
No, hell no. I can't vote. I lost my voting rights when I was 22 years old. I apologize.
You went away?
Yeah, for assault and battery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you said 4 more years for Trump?
Just because I want him to concentrate on nothing but immigration and getting him out of here. Just for that.
You don't think that
Don Lemon is shocked by this?
Contribute to the economy.
You don't think this is bad? Come on, wait, come on, man. I found you here because you were going to say it was bad. What are you doing? So anyway, so Caroline Leavitt's point here is that people want safe streets. They want safe communities. The real question should not be why the president is sending in National Guard troops. The real question should be, why is the Democrat governor and the Democrat mayors, why are they not welcoming this? I'm saying thank you for the help. If it was a problem with terrorism, if it was a problem with child abduction, people stealing cars, they would have a joint task force in a heartbeat. I mean, literally in Illinois and Chicago, they have federal task forces happening as we speak on other levels. This is nothing more than grandstanding, whether it's the mayor of Chicago or Portland. Here's a little more Leavitt.
A safer city right now today than it was a few months ago when President Trump started this initiative to make D.C. safe again.
And that's what the people want, though. That's what they want. They want safer streets. They want the initiative. They want this to happen. But, you know, you ask Gavin Newsom and this is just the end of America here. And what can you say? I mean, this is code red.
This is it. This is it. We're losing this country. We're losing it in real time. This is a chaos presidency. He is a wrecking ball. This is unlike anything we've experienced in our lifetime. It is code red. No time for neutrality. It's time to stand up, pick a side, and be firm and resolute. And that's what we're calling for.
Governor, last question.
Did you order the code red? Did you order the code red, Gavin Newsom? Or was it your hair, your oil slicked hair? Just out of curiosity. But let's contrast that with what the mayor of Chicago is saying, talking about how this is a civil war, and in the coming days and weeks we may be pushed, if not forced, to take even more dramatic action. The extreme right in this country refused to accept the results of the civil war. What? Huh? They have repeatedly called for a rematch. A rematch. But in the coming weeks, we'll use this opportunity to build greater resistance. You know what the code red really is? The code red is that people have said enough is enough for crime. They don't want any more crime. And this is just freaking nuts. This is nuts. People don't want their kids getting shot. They don't want drugs in their neighborhood. They don't want to worry that their kid's going to walk home from school, get killed in a crossfire between rival gangs. They want this to end. Bottom line, that's what they want. But here's Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, who's freaking out of his mind.
Black, brown, white, Asian, young, old, north side, west side, south side, we must all pull aside our differences and defend one another. Because if we allow this to continue to be unchecked, by the time we realize what's happening, it'll be too late. And this executive order is a step towards accountability, and it's calling for the basic rule of law. In the coming days and weeks, we may be pushed, if not forced, to take even more dramatic action if this administration continues to escalate and provoke our people. In closing, last night I spoke with the governor, and he informed me that the Trump administration is deploying Texas National Guard to our city. We will speak to our response later today. We'll do that with the governor as well as the attorney general. For now, let me just say that we are unequivocally going to continue to reject the military occupation of our city. The Trump administration must end the war on Chicago. The Trump administration must end this war against Americans. The Trump administration must end its attempt to dismantle our democracy. Right as we are making historic progress in reducing violence, the Trump administration is seeking to destabilize our city and provoke chaos. We said that they would use ICE as a pretext to send in the National Guard. And now they are doing just that. I've also said for the last couple of years that the extreme right in this country refused to accept the results of the Civil War.
What?
They have repeatedly called for a rematch. But in the coming weeks...
Hey, dude, by the way, your side was on the South, in the South side. Just not the South side of Chicago either, but the South, as in the South. Our side was the North, and Illinois, last time I checked, is in the North. But we want a rematch to the Civil War. Think about this now. We're sending in federal agents to try to help clean up the streets because Democrat policies have allowed cities like Chicago to become war zones. And instead of the mayor and the governor turning around and going, hey, listen, we appreciate the help. Our citizens appreciate it. Thank you. We really are grateful for this. This is huge. It's a rematch of the civil freaking war. Are you kidding me? A little more of this crazy SOB.
We will use this opportunity to build greater resistance. Chicagoans are clear. Militarizing our troops in our city as justification to further escalate a war in Chicago will not be tolerated. The past teaches us that just because we are on the right side of history, that doesn't mean that we will succeed. It's going to take courage and determination, bravery, unity. But one thing that I know for sure.
Enough with you. So that's probably the craziest thing I've heard in a long, long time. All right. Two things coming up that we got to talk about. Number one, Friday in Wildwood. I saw the picture today that Matt Rooney was down there. He did a little advance work. Our booth. We got the We got the roller coaster in the background. Looks awesome. It's going to be a great day in Wildwood on Friday. That's this coming Friday, Friday the 10th of October. Now, you do have to register. You have to register so that you can come and join us. Because of security, we can't, people just can't show up. So all you got to do is just go to K or 1210WPHG.com. You go to 1210WPHG.com, and all you got to do is just sign up, and then you can join us, and it'll be a great day, okay? It's going to be a lot of fun. I really want you to do that with us, and I really want you to be there for as we get Jack Cittarelli elected. You know, my prediction today was that I think Jack's going to win, mainly because Mikey Sherrill hates pork roll. But I really genuinely believe that Jack is gonna pull this off. Secondly, on Monday, we've got our event with the other Jack, and that's Jack Carr. Jack Carr, it's gonna be a great day with him. We will have a lot of fun. It's gonna be our Politics and Pints event, our Politics and Pints, which is 7 o'clock at Bucks County Community College, the Zlock Performing Arts Center, and I want you to be there and join us for that. So for that, again, just go to 1210WPHG.com, register, and join us for the incredible event that we're going to have with Jack Carr Monday, October 13th. Yeah, no, this is Mikey Sherrill with the pork roll.
Who eats pork roll?
Not me.
I think that's gross.
I don't even know what it is.
I've had this fight multiple times. Nobody wants pork roll.
Who wants pork roll? Who does that? This is thing. Who? Yeah.
Who eats pork roll?
Who eats pork roll?
I think that's gross.
I don't even know what it is.
I've had this fight multiple times. Nobody wants pork roll.
Ah, that's it. That's the saying of, how do you say you're not from Jersey without telling me you're not from Jersey? That's probably it, right? Probably it right there. All right, let's, as we continue here on our fourth and final hour, that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is your man. Dr. Mike will help you. Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. More to come as we continue along the show. Don't go away.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, as we are continuing along here for our fourth and final hour, and I know you'd rather be just totally focused on the game, and I understand that, but I got a couple more things I got to share with you before we get out of here and turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Don't forget, by the way, as I've been saying, Friday, Monday, we've got a lot of great things that we're doing. So I want to make sure that you join us for those things. So just go to 1210WPHG.com and register today so that you can be with us in Wildwood and then for Politics and Pints. A couple other things that occurred that I will spend more time on this Arctic Frost thing. We were just kind of loaded up today, and that's how the show works. But as I mentioned earlier, Senator Chuck Grassley, the other Republican senators, had a press conference today, and Chuck Grassley saying Arctic Frost became Jack Smith's elector case against Trump. And the Biden FBI spied on 8 Republican senators. It's stuff you just absolutely cannot make up. I mean, the authoritarian, they call us authoritarians, and this is what they did. Really just truly amazing, but not surprising in the least, not surprising. And as you know, this AG candidate who made what he calls jokes, Jay Jones, calling for the assassination of a political opponent and hoping that the guy is killed in front of his kids, that his whole family has to watch. And here's Neera Tanden saying it was just a private conversation. You know, just among the guy who wants to be the state's top law enforcement officer for Virginia, just joking about killing somebody and having the kids watch, you know.
But can I also say in your interview with Leader Jeffries, that can we stop with the pearl clutching about the mean tweets and sombrero tweets, that this week it came to light that a Democrat candidate for Attorney General State of Virginia called for the assassination of a political opponent, called for the assassination of that political opponent's family, and there's not one national Democrat calling for him to step aside. Not one. It's disgraceful.
Neera, let me let you respond to that, because that is going to be a big story, I think, in the coming days.
I mean, I absolutely think people should criticize that 100%. Yeah. It's, I think it was a private conversation he had, but still awful and disgusting. Mm-hmm. Wasn't calling for it public, but terrible. It should be condemned. But then we should condemn that, but then you should condemn when the president calls the Democratic Party the party of Satan.
Yeah, in all fairness.
Why don't we just say both of those?
I think I've paid the price for saying for political violence on our side.
But yeah, I agree with that, Then criticize other Republicans or the president.
That was Mark Short, who was the chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence. I think there's a difference between memes about Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries wearing sombreros and a guy talking. The guy wants to be attorney general, making some sort of sick murder fantasy about a Republican opponent and having his kids watch as he's executed and sending it to another to a Republican. And then thinking that it would remain private. It's sick. At the very least, it's sick. But you got to ask yourself, I mean, the mental state of somebody who thinks it's a good idea when he's running for statewide office as a Democrat to send this murder fantasy to a Republican and think it wouldn't get out. I feel like people are missing that aspect of the story here. That alone shows you how warped this guy is, that his judgment is that bad, that he thought sending us to somebody in the opposite of the political aisle, a murder fantasy, would remain a private conversation. And that's the defense that's used on MSNBC. Well, it was a private conversation, you know. Private. Rob Reiner, Meatloaf, you know him, right? Meatloaf from the fame of... Meathead, I'm sorry, Meathead. Meathead from... he said, Hollywood's job is to explain democracy and warn Americans Trump is an autocrat. That's what he said. Hollywood's job is to explain that Trump is an autocrat and to warn them about democracy. Now, I don't have time to play. I do. Hang on one second. I'll play this for. Hang on. We got this? All right.
So we're well aware of what's happening. But our job now as communicators is to start communicating to the rest of the country to let them know what is going to happen to them. The two big things that an autocrat needs, they need control of the media, which is what they're trying to do, and they need military control of the streets. And that's the other thing that we're seeing. So we're in it right now, and we're sliding downhill in a very, very fast way, and we have to find a way to stop it. And I believe the way to stop it is to educate people who may not understand what democracy is. They may not know what the impact of losing it is. We have to explain it. Us storytellers have to explain to them what they're going to wind up with if an autocrat has its way.
Hey, Meathead, not for nothing, but troops in the streets and all these other little fantasies that you have, what do troops in the streets do exactly in this country, in America, in the United States of America? How does that help Trump stay in power? I asked this question earlier and nobody seems to answer this. With everything from Brandon Johnson and all these other people and what they're suggesting here about ICE and federal agents and all these other things and Pritzker and what, how does Trump get more power from sending federal law enforcement in to help clean up the streets? I don't get that. I just don't understand this leap. Because we've had the feds working with state and local forces to fight crime on things like terrorism and auto theft and child abductions and all these other, and we've never heard the pearl clutching and screaming about authoritarianism and takeover of America. We haven't heard these things. So again, I'm genuinely wondering, what is the gain here? You deploy the National Guard, but if they're not going to people's homes and taking them out of their homes because they're not MAGA enough, if they're not arresting them, but they want you to believe that that's what's coming, that this is all a pretext so that the troops can be on the ground. So then when Trump gives the green light, then they'll start going after their political enemies. Well, I mean, that makes no sense. It's not like they have to cross a sea to get there. We need an excuse for I mean, they're there. So if that was what Trump wanted to do, he could just call him up when he's ready to do it. This isn't like D-Day where we got to go and invade Portland. It's going to take months of planning and we got to evade them. And I mean, the troops are the National Guard. They're moms and dads who work there and live there. So they're already there. I just don't get this. I really don't. This is the, you know. And Tubby Pritzker, who's never met a devil dog he doesn't love, this is what he said.
Trump is also trying to deploy the national Portland, Oregon, after a federal judge there, appointed by Trump, I should note, temporarily blocked that effort. Top White House advisor Stephen Miller blasted that ruling as, quote, legal insurrection and said, quote, the deployment of troops is an absolute necessity to defend our personnel, our laws, our government, public order, and the republic itself, unquote. What did you think when you saw that statement from Stephen Miller?
Well, let's back up and remember this judge is a Trump-appointed judge. This judge actually said what I think should be said about all of what Donald Trump is doing, which is it's untethered from the facts. That's what the judge said, that what the government is doing, what Trump is doing is untethered from the facts. That's the case. He was claiming that, it's mayhem on the grounds of, on the streets of Portland. He's saying that, you know, Chicago is a war zone. None of that is true. They're just making this up. And then what do? They fire tear gas and smoke grenades and they make it look like it's a war zone. And they, you know, get people on the ground are frankly incited to want to do something about it appropriately. I mean, if you are on the ground and you're being having tear gas pellets fired at you, as they have been doing in Broadview, Illinois. You want to react. You want something to happen. And unfortunately, they're using every lever at their disposal to keep us from maintaining order.
Huh? Isn't that maintaining order? I mean, by having them there to go against the protesters who are destroying public property and causing chaos on the streets, isn't the point that they're doing it because you're not maintaining order, Tubby? I'm throwing it out there because I still don't understand this link of how that gives Trump more power. If he's going in there and they're throwing smoke bombs at Democrat legislators and they're hauling Democrat legislators in Illinois away and they're going into their homes, and you might have a point, but I don't see how federal law enforcement or even National Guard dealing with protesters in crowd control methods gives Trump more power. I'm still missing this point, Tubbs. And if anybody can answer that for me, I would be thrilled, really, because I'm always very sensitive to authoritarianism and fascism. I just don't know how you achieve it when the military is technically everywhere in this country, because it's made comprised of, it's a volunteer military. So, I mean, technically, like, they're here. You know, they're not fighting a war overseas. So if the ones that aren't overseas are here already. So I'm missing this part where they somehow now go from dealing with protecting federal agents who are doing their job and dealing with protesters to then giving Trump 8 more years in power. Like, the leap for me is, you know, I guess that's why I have a rational brain. I'll do better tomorrow. All right, go Phils. Have a great rest of your night. And Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.